You ready for 162-0, Keith?
I am ready for that. After yesterday? Oh, yeah. Why stop there? There's a whole bunch of playoff games to win after that.
I don't see what's going to bring them down.
No, that was fantastic. Good to have baseball back. Not even their best stuff, and that's against a decent team, too, so that's a good way to start. There's a lot of good stuff in there, plenty of stuff to pick apart as well after just one of 1-62, but no, good. Good to have it back. Good win.
Nice opening day win for the Red Sox yesterday. We'll get into it all day long here on Jones and Keith. We are live today from Polar Park. And I'm looking at our roster here with our pronunciation in a nice city called, it's pronounced Worcester.
Worcester.
Massachusetts.
You hear a lot of different variations of that.
You sure do. But I like that it's phonetically spelled out for us here. The hometown of Nick. We're broadcasting live from the WooSox opener. Very, very exciting day. We're going to talk to Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect, a little after 11 o'clock. If you want to tune in for that here on Jones and Keefe. We're also scheduled to be joined by my guy, one of my all-time favorites, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, should we play back some of the stuff that you said about him? Should we do that to start?
I mean, we pretty much have to start with just, hey, Jackie.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend I'm your biggest guy over here. I mean, we have
we've all matured. We've all said some things.
I mean, we can't ignore that, can we? I
feel like we can't. No, probably should lead with that.
So that'll be.
You'll find out the first 30 seconds if he's a good sport about it or not.
So that's going to be at 1:30. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
Here on Jones and Keefe.
Should be good. That's like you go. That's like me going face to face with Marchand at this point.
Okay. Yeah. No, like at some point in my radio career,
yep.
Having to talk to Jackie Bradley, Marcus Smart.
Full circle.
Yeah,
this is full circle. This is actually a good opportunity, I think, for you.
The Bills are going to come due at some point.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to do that today at 1:30. Should be very exciting. You can dial us up all day long. 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Red Sox opening day yesterday. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. We'll update a very lopsided first semifinal in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. Second semifinal will drop this afternoon in the Final Four. Championship matchup is on Monday. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I would encourage you to do that every day. Do it today. Check out our nice digs here.
The new locale.
At Polar Park.
Yeah.
You ever want to be a minor league broadcaster? Is that ever something you wanted to do?
No, I wanted to skip right to the pros.
We didn't even need it?
No.
You were like a LeBron?
No, you know, I didn't do like a lot of baseball play-by-play.
Me neither.
Believe it or not. I did pretty much just basketball play-by-play. And I remember as like a 22-year-old, I like applied to the Toronto Raptors. I applied to like a ton of jobs. I was not qualified for
the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah, I shot big. They had an opening. I went for the Toronto Raptors.
I applied to like the University of Nevada.
I applied to
the Raptors.
I remember like Colorado State, I think, had like football, basketball openings. A lot of them are both, right? So it's football, basketball. Basketball. So at the time, I remember applying to a lot of those ones. And you hear nothing back. But I give the Raptors a ton of credit. I had no business sending them anything. Like, here's my Hobart play-by-play and, like, Riviera College play-by-play. How about the Raptors? And they sent something back. They were like, thanks, but no thanks and whatever. But, like, we appreciate y'all. Like, they actually sent, like, a thing back.
Canadians. They're so polite.
Super nice. That's what it is.
University of Nevada, Reno. There was no response to the old Jones demo.
But I love minor league parks, you know, and I feel bad about all like the single A teams that have gone down. Like my wife's hometown of Auburn, New York, they had a team for years and years and years. Now they don't, and I think that's a shame because it is such a fun atmosphere. It's also way more family friendly. Like think about how much it costs to go to this Red Sox games, and then to have a chance to go to any of the other parks. And for the kids, it's a blast. You're still going to a game. It still looks like it's larger than life. They don't care. They don't know who's playing. And then you can tell them one day, hey, you actually saw Marcelo Meyer play, or you saw Roman Anthony play. Like you can tell them all these stories. So
even if you didn't, they don't know.
No, that's true. Yeah, you can tell them that.
You saw Mookie Betts.
You were there for Mookie Betts' grand slam.
Dad, Mookie Betts never played in Worcester.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're too young. You don't get it.
No, but I love it.
It's a good take, and I'll tell you what. I went to a decent amount of this is a late entry for Brag of the Week.
Okay.
But I went to
a
decent amount of PawSox games in my childhood. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
I'll tell you what.
Sick Brag.
Thank you.
I thought you'd be like more like a Lake Monster.
Well, I did. No, there were a lot of Vermont Expos, Vermont Lake Monsters, but I went to a good amount of PawSox games.
Yeah.
No offense to the great city of Pawtucket. But this is a little more central location, a little more downtown.
Yeah, this is not to put anybody down.
No,
this is pretty
sweet. I don't want to build anybody up by taking somebody else down.
Yeah, no.
This will work. So we're here in Worcester today. You can watch along on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. All right, Red Sox 162-0. Still on the table,
Keith. Very much so.
Lovely win yesterday. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was encouraging in many ways because we can get into all the different particulars. There's a lot of different storylines with this team. But let's just start with the guy that we're not going to see for another week, and that's Garrett Crochet, right? The guy that we were super excited about, a true ace. I said yesterday he's going to win the AL Cy Young, and it was not his best performance at all, right? I thought he was going to be a little bit better. We both took the over on strikeouts yesterday. It was an under on strikeouts. I thought he'd go six. He went five. Pitch count kind of ballooned up a little bit early on. But the reason why I'm encouraged by it is he's going to have a lot of games a lot better than this, and they still won. He still won five. This wasn't, oh, I'm kind of losing it out three, four innings, or, oh, I'm kind of losing it. Next thing you know, you give up, you know, a home run or something after a couple of walks. He kind of grinded a little bit, didn't have all of his best stuff, and the team still won. He left the game, you know, obviously you'd like him to go deeper into the game, but he left the game only allowing two runs, allowed the offense to come back late and win the game. So I'm not going to tell you it was his best start because it certainly wasn't, but the fact that the team can win games like that, and even he can, I know he didn't take the win, but like he was the starter and didn't pitch great and the team still came out on top, that to me is encouraging.
Yeah, and look, I thought he was maybe going to get run out of the game in the second inning the way things were going.
Yep.
And he was able to stay in and get you through five. Not that that's a huge number.
No.
And it sounded like he wanted to stay in the game, just judging by the broadcast. Who knows how much of that is an act, and, oh, I'm a bulldog, and leave me out there.
Yeah, all these guys want to stay out
and
there.
And who knows how much of that is his real attitude. It's easy to say, in hindsight, Cora made the right call. In real time, I was like, give him another inning. Now, you know, strikeout props could have been at play in the back of my mind.
I think you were thinking,
not sure my real motivation there.
You need to punch out the side in the sixth for you to get the over.
Yeah, but I wasn't rolling it out. 88 pitches, though, probably the right time to get him out of there. It's his first start. You don't want to blow his arm out. He doesn't want to blow his arm out, for God's sakes, since he doesn't have a contract extension. So, no, I mean, maybe a little underwhelming from Garrett Crochet, but that's probably more about our hype, our anticipation level. And it was far from a bad outing. Abreu was great yesterday.
Awesome.
Abreu is a guy who, honestly, completely forgot about.
Legit forgotten guy.
And when we've talked about him, we're like, man, the guy's kind of just in the way of Roman Anthony. He's not going to hold off Roman Anthony. When are we going to see Roman Anthony, who, by the way, is leading off for the Woo Sox today? Marcelo Meyer, when he joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, batting third, we've been told. That's inside info
here.
It's
a good lineup.
Jones and Keefe. I'm not sure
you heard
it here
first.
Information
out,
anywhere else.
Yes.
Yeah, Woo Sox lineup. Anthony won. Meyer 3. Mark that down. You heard it here first.
I don't think many other AAA teams around baseball have two of the 12 best prospects in their lineup. I would dare I say none of them do, right? Because there's a lot of AA guys. There's a lot of certainly, like, you know, just non-teammates in there. So, yeah, just another reason why this is a good take. But, no, Willy Abreu.
But that's kind of how we've talked about Abreu. 100%. We're like,
and
he's just keeping the seat warm until Roman Anthony gets
And it's probably not fair because he did have a really good rookie year. Like, he was solid. He was not like a really a big story by any means, and he is very much flown under the radar. And yeah, the guy is involved in all five runs that they score. He has the massive he has a two home run game, so we should have taken him in the dong pool. That's a mistake on us for not trusting in Willy Abreu.
Yeah, by the way, this is another thing. Billy's leading. I think.
He's got these games.
At least when I checked the standings last night, Billy wins everything.
I'm trying to figure out how these standings work because it says I have five points.
Yeah,
but
you gotta go to the
hits.
No, you got to go to the daily stats or the season long stats.
So basically, it's going to break it down. Like, if you're winning the home run pool, you'll have 5 points. The person in last place will have one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Look at it like that.
Yeah, yeah. But there's you can toggle around. Trust me, I was on
toggle.
There. I was in the dong pool fantasy group way too much yesterday.
But yeah, I need to be in there. It's
no,
too
but
early.
Billy's good at all these games. But to your point, Abreu undrafted.
So yeah, undrafted, but definitely kind of flying under the radar. Had a good rookie. He's getting rookie of the year votes a year ago, and it's almost like we didn't anticipate. What if he gets better? Like right. We almost thought, like, well, if you get the same from Willy Abreu, why? Like, why? I don't know why we were thinking that. I don't think we were alone. Like, in a lot of like the season previews, it's just kind of like tossed in there. There's so much attention on Bregman and, you know, Devers' willingness to, you know, be the DH, shortstop, all the second base, nothing about Willy Abreu. And in fact, isn't there maybe a chance if everybody is so dead set on Roman Anthony at some point, let's say he rips the cover off it down here and you're like, all right, he's the top prospect in baseball, we can't hold him back. I don't know, could you see an outfield of Duran, Anthony, and Abreu,
yeah,
and then Sadon Rafaela ends up being sort of your floater. He ends up playing a backup to everybody. You know, I think
Between he and Hamilton, that's a pretty versatile bench.
So that might almost be more a more likely path for Roman Anthony than just for like Willy Abreu to fall apart. You know, like, because he could be solid. And I know he's not going to hit two home runs every game, but like he could end up being solid. He's good defensively. Although those guys in the outfield are good defensively. But yeah, no, that was a reminder that we're really high on this team. We like this team, and one of the guys we didn't even mention is all of the offense yesterday. But that also is like a good sign. Like so because, I mean, we'll get to some of the stuff that wasn't great, like the middle of the lineup and everything. But Garrett Crochet doesn't have his best game. The middle of the lineup goes 0-for. They beat the Rangers. Like that to me is a really good sign, because there's going to be plenty of games where Devers and Bregman both hit homers. There's going to be games where Crochet goes 6 or 7, punches out 8 or 9, and you know, you certainly expect to win those games. It's the other games, which is what we saw yesterday.
Nice opening day for the Red Sox yesterday in Texas. They're back at it.
You all right?
Yeah, I guess not.
What happened there?
They're coffee.
I feel like the air is actually cleaner here.
You think that's what it is? You think I'm used to this?
Don't just took off from left field, just sprinted down here for the second.
You think I'm used to the smog of Boston? The air is too clean.
That's right.
Is maybe
that's
what it is here in Worcester. That's got to be what it is. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. That's your phone and your text number today on Jones and Keefe, live from the clean air at Polar Park. We haven't really even gotten to Christian Campbell, a guy we thought would be here today in Worcester, you know, as recently as a couple of weeks ago. He makes his debut last night for the Red Sox. I think that was a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Did have a big hit.
A huge hit.
Yep.
You know, even if he was fortunate with the scoring on the hit and getting on base, he gets the rally going before Abreu clears the bases with the 3-run home run. Defense, though, was an adventure. And when you hear that, oh, man, this guy may not have a position in the bigs, maybe he's just nervous yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's one already after one game, I'm like, ooh, we might need to keep an eye on that, because that was – even though they turned a double play.
I was going to say that the caller to the Greg Hill Show yesterday,
I know people
about lack of double plays.
Very concerned about
that.
Being able to turn a double play. It's the first thing I thought of when that happened. But he was a real adventure in the field yesterday. No errors, but a lot of not clean plays, and one that he could have had scored as an error. So I think that was a mixed bag. It's one game. I don't want to overreact, but I want to watch that going forward.
And, well, especially because this year, different than the last few, it seems like they are really prioritizing defense. I mean, the fact that they bumped Devers out of third base, like for year after year after year, he'd lead the league in errors, but you're like, that's his position. Who cares? Move on. And, you know, all the different variety of shortstops that they would have replacing Trevor Story. But now, like, if you're beefing up your infield defense, and then if that guy does struggle, you wonder, all right, what does Cora do? I mean, overall, I think you need to be patient with him. You need to be patient with him at the plate. You need to be patient with him in the field and let him figure it out, because you could say, all right, he plays a bunch of spots, but if he's going to be a good major leaguer, he needs to find a spot. And then maybe eventually, you know, Mookie Betts plays center, right, second, short. Like, that's kind of, you know, not a lot of guys are doing that. But in the meantime, just to make it as easy as possible of transition from the minors to the pros, like, you got to put him at one position and hope he kind of, you know, I would also say Alex Cora has got to be probably the best manager for that. You know, a guy just to sort of keep his confidence about him and make sure he improves defensively at second base.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on Christian Campbell, his debut. We'll get to Raffy Devers, a poor season debut for Devers yesterday, one of the few blights on opening day. Bullpen very good for Alex Cora, one game in, which we'll get to as well, plus all your thoughts on the opener yesterday, which I just feel like there weren't enough wins like that last year.
Yeah,
I don't know how many
exactly
you could count on, but it's a 2-2 game. You're going into the late innings. You're watching them going, they're going to screw this up. They're not going to win. They don't have the timely hitting. They don't have the bullpen. They don't have the defense. Blah, 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 blah. And yesterday, again, it's one game. You don't want to overreact negatively on Campbell and his defense or Crochet and his start. You also don't want to get too bullish on one win. But
sure.
I feel like there weren't enough of those last year, which one game in, I'll give them credit for. I expect the team to pull out games like that this year where they've been incapable of doing that for like 3 years running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, the highlight was Willier Abreu in the bullpen. So if you told me like the stars of the game were going to be the relievers and Willier Abreu, you'd be like, that doesn't feel like a game you're winning. Now, I guess if the bullpen's really, really good, then I guess maybe depending on, you know, how much you need them and whatever. But, yeah, you're thinking Crochet, Bregman, Devers, Casas, Story. Like, that's what you're thinking is going to win the day. And it wasn't, which is definitely a positive. I mean, the bullpen itself, we didn't know what the order was going to be. Hell, we found out on the air yesterday that Liam Hendricks was going to be on the IL, and who knows if and when he's going to return. And it was definitely trending towards him not being the closer. But if you said they had four innings of shutout relief on opening day, I would have guessed a week ago he would have been a part of it, right? Even though he didn't have a great spring, I would be like, all right, you'll find a way to get him in there. Nope.
No, we were surprised when Bradfoe came on Thursday, and he's like, yeah, or even earlier right. in the day, yesterday, rather, and he's like, yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be a part of the late-game mix. We're like, whoa, never mind, not even on the team.
Bradfoe was all over Whitlock all spring. He loved Whitlock, and Whitlock was good.
Whitlock was good.
Chapman's debut, good. And then Slayton gets the save. Funny, I feel like Slayton might almost be the bullpen version of Willie Abreu, where, like, all year we were, like, talking about all the guys, the new guys. And then even when we were talking about the guys returning, they both got overlooked, but they both had good seasons, and they're both pretty fairly reliable. And it's funny, just game one, those are the two guys that really show up.
So maybe they bailed out. Crochet is too strong, but Crochet got his pitch count up early in the start, got away from him early in the start. He discussed that after the game, obviously expects more out of himself. Here's Garrett Crochet following the Red Sox win.
Yeah, it was kind of a grinder day from the start. I felt like, you know, I struggled with consistent execution. Maybe took a few too many shots in the first couple innings trying to get swing and miss, and kind of dug myself in a hole with pitch count early. But, you know, later on in the game, kind of just started trusting the defense and, you know, trusting everybody other than myself, and just started trying to fill up the zone as best I could.
Okay. Is yesterday an example of part of the Red Sox hesitance in paying him? Not that the injuries are looming or anything like that. I think that's the biggest factor.
Yeah, I think that's...
It's another example of he hasn't done it. I mean, Crochet's never done it, and I want them to pay him. You want them to pay him, whether that's today or next offseason. I don't really care, but I want them to do it. Is that part of the example of why they haven't done it yet? Like, he hasn't been a lead dog on a top-flight team. He was a lead dog on one of the worst teams in the history of the sport.
Yeah, I think it's going to be injuries first and foremost, and just overall season durability. There's the injuries that he has had where he's missed a whole season at a time. But I think at this point they don't have a deal done. Wait to the end of the year. How many innings did he pitch? Was he still pitching well at the end? Because I think one of the big red flags that they ignored with Chris Sale was the end of the year, breaking down at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's never there when you needed him the most.
No, and the White Sox never made the playoffs when he was there, so it didn't matter. So, late in the season, they weren't going for anything, and then he didn't have those extra starts. And then every year, even the year that he had the 300 Ks, by the end of that year, he wasn't the same guy. So maybe it's as much that as anything else with Crochet. Is 6 months from now, end of the year, is he still capable of some of his best stuff? Or is it, we got to skip a start, or, we got to do this? So I think that. And once you find a guy that can do that and pitch as well as we hope that he can, then, that's where you realize, all right, that contract probably is worth it.
What'd you think of Garrett Crochet in his debut? Doesn't sound like they're any closer to paying the guy. Would you pay him? What'd you think of the Red Sox and their opener? Again, 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe today, live from Polar Park for the Woo Sox opener. We're going to talk to Marcelo Meyer less than an hour from now. Red Sox top prospect, had a big spring. He'll join us here in Worcester coming up shortly after 11 o'clock. All the normal bells and whistles on the show today. Week in review, 12:45. We'll do a Friday four-pack coming up at 11:30, so stay tuned for all of it.
You know, my relationship with Rafi, one thing I told him, I would never want baseball decisions affect the relationships, right? And I made that clear since day one. And you, little by little, I think the players help out, obviously the front office, but he knows, and he'll be ready. Hopefully this way too, we keep him on the field. That's very important. And as you know, even in the good years, he had to grind, right, physically. Yeah. In 21, the elbow part thing. Last year, the shoulder. So hopefully this way we can keep him fresh. We can run him out there 162 times, and the kid is going to perform. I truly believe that. And, testament, I think their teammates, man, they were really good about the whole situation.
Alex Cora, yesterday on the pregame here on WEEI, discussing Rafi Devers, the kid, as he refers to him, Keith. He's 28.
He's like the oldest guy on the team, basically, now, isn't he?
It's an old,
close to it.
It's an old kid, is what he is, at age 28. And that caught my ear. Again, it was before Devers went out there and went 0 for 4 yesterday. And I can't even tell you that 0 for 4 doesn't do justice how poor he was.
Yeah, it's a good point. Not all 0 for 4s are the same.
No, how off his timing was. He wasn't making contact on anything until his final at bat when you had a man on first, one out, and he grounds out. He looked so out of whack yesterday. The 0 for 4 doesn't do it justice. But what caught my ear with Cora, again, before the game even happened, he's like, look, it's our relationship. It's baseball. That's different than, you know, how I feel about you, and we got to keep it on the field. He said that a couple of different times in like 45 seconds, and you're like, oh, that's an interesting way to answer that. Like, I hope we keep it on the field. But so what are you saying? It's not on the field right now?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the biggest story the whole spring training was that initial Devers sit down. Like, most of it through a translator, but then kind of comically at the end, it wasn't, when they were like, what would you do if you moved to DH? Or like, would you move to DH? Like, no. Like, kind of the universal language there, I guess. No. So, like, if you take that guy and then you just fast forward a couple of weeks, do you think he's completely changed how he feels? Of course not. Now, he's a professional. He's getting paid a ton of money. He's still playing. He's hitting second in the order. He gets to hit, which is what he does best. So not a lot of people have time for him, you know, if he's feeling bad for himself or anything like that. But I can't imagine one day he just woke up, he's like, oh, yeah, I feel good now. The organization probably lied to me for months.
They took away my job.
They moved me. They demoted me. And they told me they weren't going to sign Bregman. Then they did. But, yeah, I'm good now. Like, no, he's probably mad. But here's the thing. And this is the thing with, like, all sports, especially baseball. Like, baseball is such an individual team sport where you can pout and you can do this, that, and the other thing. But if you're the guy hitting a .150 after the first month, that's on you.
Right.
Like, you're wearing that. Like, you have to look up on the jumbo screen, see what your stats are. You're the one, like.
And never mind if the team's 20-10.
Team
and
can now, be awesome.
Right. You're, the
guys around
good,
you are
you
playing
stink,
well.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you can do that. So I look at it as, all right, that is a bad first game, but I'm not ready to write off the season for Devers by any stretch.
So I'm not ready to write off the season.
No, I know you're not.
And you can jump in. Jones and Keefe live today from Polar Park. We're going to talk to Red Sox top prospect Marcelo Meyer here for the Woo Sox opener coming up shortly after 11 o'clock. So mark that down. He'll join us here in the press box high above Polar Park. We'll get to your phone calls as well. 617-779-7937. When it comes to the panic button with Devers, we're not just overreacting to yesterday. I mean,
no,
you just laid it out.
Yeah.
It's like he wasn't happy. He said he wasn't happy. He didn't have a great year last year. He wasn't on the field for most of the offseason. His start date kept getting backed up and backed up and backed up. And when he was out there, he didn't look right in the spring. He didn't look right yesterday. So you can explain it away. I'm not saying you're doing this, but you can explain it away and say, guys, it's one day. The guy has a big league track record. He's an all-star. Why would you sound the panic alarm now? I don't view it as just one day with him. This has been going on now for a month, month plus, whenever he first got down to the picnic tables and was all upset about Bregman being a Boston Red Sox.
All right, to play psychiatrist, I guess, here for a moment.
Good.
More mental or physical with Devers? Because he's not 100% physically. Everybody keeps pointing out, maybe he didn't show up to camp in the best shape possible. Didn't get as many spring reps as some of the other guys on the team did.
Right.
So
spring rolls, yes. Spring reps, no. Yes.
Love a spring roll.
Me too.
Do you think it's a little bit of his body's just not 100% and maybe he looks like that? Or is he like mentally just still pissed off? Because I wonder if it's also, I mean, could be both. Could be one leading to the other, right? Maybe you're so pissed off mentally. Maybe you haven't put in all the work that you should have, certainly in the offseason and certainly in the last couple of weeks and sort of the buildup, which just sort of leads to, like, those are the kind of guys that get off to slow starts. You know, like, regardless of what it is. We talk about pitchers often if they have a short spring. But even some of the hitters, like, it's a little bit different than, like, football. Like, football, we've seen guys skip spring, show up week, or not spring, but skip preseason, and they're good. Right, they're good to go.
Yeah,
I don't know, baseball.
You brought up Moss before.
Yeah, Moss is a great example. Yeah. But like, I don't think LaDainian Tomlinson played preseason for like 8 years in a row or whatever, and was like the man.
McVay doesn't have anybody playing the preseason.
No, they don't do it, and they're usually fine. But I wonder, just with this sport, like, you need to get your timing back, and how important that is. You know, Middlebrooks was on yesterday with the morning show talking about how pitchers are always ahead of the hitters. Early in the season, hitters are the ones that have to get that timing back. Like, whereas pitchers go out there and throw like whatever they want to throw. So maybe that's part of it too. But yeah, it didn't look right. I mean, and he wasn't the only guy that went 0-for-4. I mean, the whole middle of the lineup just tossed up an 0-for.
So I want to get to them in a moment, and whether or not we're going easy on guys like Bregman and everybody else. But with Devers specifically, your question is: it more mental or physical? I think the mental pouting, checked out, frustration, like all those things, I think led to some of the physical ailments,
yeah.
if that makes sense. Like some of
They're
like
connected.
Protesting doing this. I'm not gonna be out there and push myself when I should be pushing myself. I'm gonna take my time. We're gonna move the start date back. Like there are physical elements going on with Devers and his recovery and his fitness or lack thereof. But I think that all stems from the mental to me. Like I think that's the bigger issue going on with him and the kind of thing. Again, I don't think talent's a big problem on this team. The kind of thing that could undercut the team this year, if it's going to be anything, Crochet's contract, you know, and Devers, whether or not he's happy with his situation. I think those are the kind of problems that could drag the team down.
But I still don't understand the whole Devers thing as far as he didn't show up to camp in the best shape. And I know Bregman was signed before camp, but it was like just before camp, right? Like,
right.
So like the timing of it. So there was no reason for him to be
out of shape showing up.
Yeah. I can understand, like, the minute they signed Bregman, going into, like, a funk for, like, a little bit and being like,
is he the kind of guy who uses those 6 weeks to play his way into shape?
Yeah,
and
maybe.
And he kind of expected to do it, and then he boycotted and went AWOL, and no.
I guess I just thought, like, modern-day sports, like, less and less guys do that. It's all about you're in shape for 12 months of the year, and maybe when the season ends, you go on a vacation for 2 weeks and, you know, drink yourself stupid or whatever, but then, like...
Well, most athletes, I agree. What about this guy?
No, it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it. And it's also, we were going through, isn't he sort of, we kind of stumbled upon this the other day, he's kind of an every other year guy?
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, 30 home runs anyway, if you're using that as a metric, it was, like, every other year. So maybe it's, like, a little bit more motivation, but I think this would have been a 30 home run year. This should have been a 30 home run year based off of the his pattern.
It still could be.
No, of course it could be.
I'm panicking a little bit. Who got him in our dong draft yesterday? Was that Nick?
Not me.
I'd be panicking a little bit there. Nick is what I would be doing.
Just figure it out.
Just a little bit.
I think Nick shooketh. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah, you definitely can. 617-779-7937. It's a time to panic, even a little bit, with Rafi Devers. And I don't just think it's yesterday. I think it's the entire offseason with him, which is why I'm not as panicked with the other guys. You can say I'm giving him a free pass if you want.
Sounds like a free pass.
And that's fine. I might be.
I'm shooketh.
That's Nick.
That's Nick and Jones.
With Bregman and Cassis, they both go 0-for-4 yesterday. Yeah. Story had a big hit and a steal, so let's put him in a separate category. But he didn't look great early in the game either. Am I going too easy on Bregman and Cassis? Because they also went 0-for-4 yesterday with 3 strikeouts between them.
No, I don't think so. I mean, because, like you said, every 0-for-4 could look a little bit different. Baseball is tough. It's tough to get a hit, all that crap. But if you're watching the at-bats and you sort of see how they go, how they look, some are a little bit better than others. So, no, he had some of the worst at-bats in the game yesterday. So, no, I think that was a little bit worse. But you're right. The end result, like if somebody's calling in to defend Devers, it would be, guys, it's the same results. It's 0-for-4.
It is. What I would say to them is... I mean, maybe Cassis is more towards the Devers side for me, but with Bregman and even Cassis, like, outside of Cassis opening his mouth, that's been his issue. Like, I haven't been like, is he in shape? I was a little worried about whether or not he was healthy at the end of spring training.
Well, Cassis has to be mad because he wanted Bregman at second and Devers to be third base for the
next
10 years.
Correct. So, like, you know, maybe there is more of that going on with Cassis than I give it credit for.
No, but I mean, Devers struck out 3 times and then had, like, a bad ground out. Like, that was not a good performance.
Bregman was a clean spring, too. And so that only lasts for so long. I mean, if Bregman's not hitting after 2 weeks and he is a notoriously slow starter, we'll get on him, too. I'm more willing to give him a free pass and even Cassis a free pass than Devers, who I would sound that panic alarm on just a little bit. It's Jones and Keefe, day after opening day. Red Sox are on pace to go 162-0, if you can't tell. It was a nice win. We're excited about it. You guys can jump in again, 617-779-7937. We are live at Polar Park today for the Woo Sox opener. Marcelo Meyer going to join us shortly after 11 o'clock here on WEEI. You can catch the Red Sox second game tonight on your Red Sox flagship station, WEEI. And we still have a lot coming up for you today. Friday, 4-pack at 11:30, and also Week in Review at 12:45. We'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket. I think we should have, and maybe it's already up.
Oh, yeah.
Our second semifinal matchup. I think it's going to go up a little later, actually. I take that back.
Right.
But still time to vote in yesterday's semifinal Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. We'll update that right before high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get into Alex Cora, how he managed his bullpen yesterday. And do they actually have some answers out there that I didn't see coming? We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.
The 2-2. Swinging a high fly into center field. Rafaela's got it lined up.
He waits. He's there. He makes the play. And the Red Sox win it on opening day thanks to Willier Abreu and his two home runs. 5-2 the final in Arlington.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI live at Polar Park for the Woo Sox home opener. You got the Red Sox season opener yesterday, 5-2 win over the Texas Rangers in Texas. You can catch game two tonight on WEEI. We're going to talk to Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect, coming up 20 minutes from now, less than that, joining us shortly after 11 o'clock, which we're excited to do. You got the debut of Christian Campbell yesterday, big league debut. You got the Red Sox debut of Garrett Crochet. Some complaints about Rafael Devers mixed in there as well. You can jump in at 617-779-7937. I thought, I was nervous about this bullpen, as you know. They don't have a closer. I've said a number of times, I would have, in retrospect, and I didn't realize this at the time, I'd rather have a guy like Kenley Jansen, who I know is the ninth inning guy back there, than playing a mix and match game, a bullpen by committee, if you will, with this personnel. I don't feel like you have a high leverage guy from the right, a high leverage guy from the left, which was Bradford's argument.
Or do you?
Yesterday it worked great, Keith.
I did.
I mean, Cora basically said, going into the first game, you know, if Seager's the leadoff guy in the eighth, Chapman's coming in the eighth, that's exactly what happened yesterday. Chapman came in, got him, relatively clean inning, especially for him, and then Slayton comes out and sets everybody down in the ninth inning. Your bullpen, four innings after a shortened start, if you will, from Garrett Crochet, that was better than I expected.
Yeah, I always just wonder about the closer mentality and those guys, and you know, as Red Sox have dealt with it for many years. Like, their best seasons, they've had lights-out closers who were closers. They knew what their role was. Everybody in front of them knew what their role was. Every once in a while, they might go in the eighth, but that meant they were going to finish the game. It didn't mean they were going to sit in the ninth and watch somebody else do it. But maybe things are changing. You know, maybe it is so much analytic-driven, and maybe unless you have Mariano Rivera or you have, you know, Koji Uehara that one season or Papelbon, maybe you say, all right, we're going to do this. You know, Chapman's going to be both. Like, they're both. Can you see? I know it's one game, but can you see a scenario where at the end of the year, like, Chapman has 15 saves and Slayton has 15 saves?
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what it, which is surprising. Not how I would do it.
Whitlock has a handful.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe in a best case scenario, Hendricks is on IL, has a handful. Yeah.
If those guys are good with it, because that was always the thing. Remember, was it 07 when the Red Sox had Papelbon, then they acquired Gagne, and you're like, what is this? What are they doing? And then that was kind of a mess because then Gagne thought he was going to close, but then he wasn't, and then he just ended up being terrible, even though like a couple years earlier he was like the best closer in the game. So some of those guys were very, very territorial over like their spot. But if Chapman and Slayton are like, I'll pitch when you need me to pitch, and they pitch that well, then maybe it will work with the matchups. Not something I would have gone into the season thinking, but there, I do think there's a chance that it's more effective than Kenley Jansen from last year, which you knew he was the ninth inning guy. You knew he was a three-out guy, but, you know, he had his ups and downs, and there were times. And then you get into the stuff at the end of the season where maybe he really actually
bad
wasn't a great teammate and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But even still, he wasn't, like, as lights out as he had been earlier in his career.
No, and I like the certainty of this guy's in the ninth. We know he's in the ninth.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll come in and get you four, in a best-case scenario, five outs to end the game, but largely, you know, when he's coming in and you can build the rest of the bullpen that way. I think that's how Cora would want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know that for a fact, but I think most managers want that certainty. Makes it easier on them. It's one less thing they got to weigh out and consider outside of very high leverage select situations, maybe in the postseason and things like that. So I would rather that. But the one thing with the bullpen that I do think the Red Sox have an out for is, okay, let's try this. And I don't believe in it. Like, I don't believe it worked yesterday, and
yeah,
maybe there's more of a chance of it working. I don't believe that is going to work all year long. Chapman, Slayton, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll give them credit for it. But the one thing I think they can do is try this out, see how it goes. I brought up the Shea Hillenbrand comparison quite a bit, going back to 2003, which I meant to say it that way that time.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Going back to 03. Shea Hillenbrand, you deal him off for a closer, whether it's a big league guy like Yoshida or whether it's a deepened farm system that you have, I do think it's relatively easy to go out and get yourself a closer, right? Who's the guy in St. Louis that's supposedly already available, Helsley, or whatever his name is? Like, that's not that's not a big ask to say we need to add a closer, we need to add a high leverage reliever at the trade deadline. Those guys move every single year. You might need to overpay slightly.
Yeah.
But if you're a good team and a championship caliber team, that's worth overpaying for, in my estimation.
Yeah.
So it's an easy in-season fix, and I guess not the worst problem to have early in the season, if it even is a problem.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I also think where these guys are all coming from, it there's a chance for it to work out. You know, Slayton is good, but has never been a closer, right? Never been like the go-to, like, hey, you're the guy every ninth inning. Garrett Whitlock has had a variety of roles in his career. And then Chapman, didn't he start last year not as the closer in Pittsburgh and then became the Pittsburgh closer? Like, there was a whole thing.
Yeah,
he pitched a lot of eighth innings.
I don't think
last
he was
year.
The full wire-to-wire closer for sure, and I think the way you said it is right. I think he took over as the year went
on. I think
on.
He took over. And so, obviously, he has a ton of closing experience looking back on his career. He has just a lot of baseball experience. And so, I think, most importantly, like, if he's open to it, I would assume the other guys are as well. And that's good, too, because we didn't know, like, the whole Liam Hendricks angle to it. You know, building up this spring, I thought he was going to be a bigger factor. I thought there was a chance that, hey, maybe by a couple weeks into the season, he'd be the closer. Now, that really seems unlikely.
No,
it
I
seems
mean,
like, even if he comes back, he's got a bunch of guys ahead of him.
He had to go see whoever the specialist was that did the surgery.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Now, I know he kind of downplayed it after the game. He's like, we think it's minor. I should be out there sooner rather than later. We'll see. He tried to come back last year and had a setback.
Right.
And this is with his arm. This is not any of the, you know, with cancer or anything scary like that. This is with his arm.
Yep.
He tried to come back last year, had a setback. He wasn't effective in the spring. Velocity was down in his last outing. He went to go see a specialist. So, yeah, at this point, I don't know what you can count on from him, which is unfortunate. He's an easy guy to root for. But if you're looking at it fairly and objectively, I don't know what you can count on out of that guy this year.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then one thing that could work in their benefit too is, you know, we saw at times last year, you know, if Kenley Jansen, especially like when you have an older closer, and if they pitch, was he not pitching back-to-back games for a stretch or whatever?
Yeah,
like, there was certain
right.
kind of restrictions on him too, which I think if you have essentially three guys that you can think can do the job, you could spin it as a positive that way. Whereas, you know, I know they all pitched yesterday, but as the season really gets going and you have, you know, six games in 7 days and all this stuff, and you'll have a pretty high leverage guy available most nights, where, you know, some nights where you're like, I need the starter to go 7 or 8 because there's really nobody available. Like, these three guys all look like they could possibly do the job.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, outside of Devers' poor day yesterday, a little bit of rockiness out of Campbell in the field and Crochet not quite hitting my strikeout prop, I don't really have a lot of complaints about opening day yesterday. With Tanner Houck in his spring in the rearview mirror and him starting tonight, that could go away pretty quick.
Let's see what this looks like.
So there's a lot on him tonight in Game 2 in Texas for the Red Sox. Game 1 for the Woo Sox is here today at Polar Park. Jones and Keefe live in Worcester, taking your phone calls all day long, 617-779-7937. We have a Friday four-pack of questions coming your way at 11:30. And joining us next from here at Polar Park, Red Sox top prospect Marcelo Meyer joining Jones and Keefe. You don't want to miss it. It's next.